Welcome to The Holt Story, a podcast where tech leaders discuss the biggest trends and challenges in cybersecurity technology. Brought to you by Tech Data, one of the world's largest technology distributors.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Holt Story, where we go deeper into the topics and technology impacting our industry. I'm your host, Tracy Holtz, and today's guest is Mark Romano, who is Senior Director, Worldwide Channel Programs and Field Engagement at WatchGuard. Well, welcome, Mark. It's great to have you on The Holt Story. I'm super excited for our conversation today, and it's great just to spend some time with you.
You know, it's great to be here, Tracy. It's been a while since we chatted, so love to catch up.
It has, way too long. So let's maybe get started, maybe talking about really just what's going on in the, you know, the state of security today and just post-pandemic, right? And now full force into travel and a hybrid kind of work environment. What are you seeing in context from a cyber perspective?
So as I'm sure you know, WatchGuard puts out a security report. We do this quarterly. We also do a large annual one. We're seeing quite a number of shifts going on. Right now, ransomware is up about 80%. It's already reached 3 times the level that we saw about the same time last year. We're also seeing the activity coming through a specific group, the Lapsus group. It's a ransomware group that has been around for a while. In our previous ISR report from Q4 of 2021, ransomware attacks have been trending down year over year, but that all changed at the beginning of 2022. In Q1, there was a significant increase in ransomware detection of about 2,300 that quarter. To put that in perspective, for the previous year, it was about 1,300. So it's a major, major lift in ransomware.
Yeah, that's a major shift and an increase. And, you know, if we think back just through the last, you know, 2 years, right, in the hybrid environment, well, remote environment that we really all lived in, now hybrid, you know, a lot of companies migrated to cloud workloads, hyperscalers, and they brought new technologies into those environments. Is that where you're also seeing some of those threats being, you know, coming from? Or is it still really at that user level where there's just, you know, a challenge with still being educated around cybersecurity?
You know, it depends. A lot of the ransomware is still at the user level. A good portion of that is simply pushing the button at the wrong time. And that continues to be an education push for not only companies like ours, but others, in trying to get people to understand what it is they're receiving. And very often, people have been trained. They understand what phishing attempts look like. And yet, they work so fast, so quickly, that they will click on something and then realize that they did it. And then it's too late. There's some other interesting trends, though, too, that we're seeing. About half of the malware that's coming in is also evading signature detection. And that's another key area that, you know, it's not really impacting where people have moved their infrastructures to. It's really about how sophisticated the hackers are getting, being able to create malware that evades signatures. Again, that is on the rise. And I think one of the key areas there is for everybody to make sure that they're using multiple layers of security rather than just a signature-based type or just another type, but use a holistic package. So not only training your employees, but using holistic packages to make sure you're covering all your bases will get you a very good head start on what's going on in the marketplace today.
Yeah, it's a great reminder. And if we think about just other security protocols that need to be put into place, zero trust comes into mind, right? Around an architecture strategy within an environment. And it's always around that concept, right? Around never trusting, always validate, verifying. And I think that, you know, by all means is getting a lot of traction. We're seeing a lot of focus around zero trust from an infrastructure perspective. And even educational-wise, right? What are you seeing at WatchGuard around your technologies and the adoption ratio around partners really looking holistically around your suites, your solutions, providing that architecture of zero trust?
So part of zero trust really requires some forethought from the security teams to look at both the devices that are being used, as well as identifying the users and make sure that those all match up appropriately. We've been lucky enough to have included, just at the beginning of the pandemic, we purchased a company called Panda Security that allowed us now to take our security all the way to the user at the endpoint, where we start normally at the network security end, and taking a look across that entire horizon of opportunity for someone to attack your employees, to attack the data that you have out there, and to really start to build that zero trust infrastructure. You know, I know companies grapple a lot with the predominance of their workforce being remote, although some of that is coming back in now. Securing access to internal tools is a major challenge for a lot of companies. And that's where you really need to look at who is the user. So identifying the user and then making sure that the devices are now in contact with the network are understood, not just letting them in because you have a piece of information, but really understanding the whole set of information that's coming at you as a network security professional in this business.
Yeah, I've always admired and appreciated and respected, you know, WatchGuard's acquisitions, right? You've done extremely well from a company perspective on your acquisitions. And Panda, by all means, was another one of those that through a pandemic, even really doing an acquisition, acquiring it, bringing it together from a technology and systems and processes. You know, I saw that really come through very smoothly. You know, it felt like that in the channel, which, you know, huge kudos to you as a company. But again, and what it brought to your solutions, I think, absolutely, right? It provided that next level, you know, zero trust capabilities in addition to what WatchGuard already had, as well as, you know, some additional capabilities there.
It really did. WatchGuard has traditionally been a security company. It's one of the things we hang our hat on. So when we look at acquisitions, the first question we ask is, are we purchasing something that's going to enhance our security posture versus just bringing a product line into play that there's revenue behind it and you can make money at it? Because that changes our dynamic. So we first and foremost look at things as a security company. Does it fit the portfolio? And that Panda acquisition, I mean, and it literally happened as everything got locked down. I can remember the month that it took place in. And one of my roles at the company was to integrate country partners and distributors from Panda into our infrastructure. And I spent weeks and weeks on the phone talking to people I'd never met, talking to people in countries all across the globe, even integrating employees from Panda into my teams. And some of them I've still not met face to face today. And yet we were still able to do this. I think the focus on what your goal is and to be able to explain that to people who are coming across from another company really allows you to hit your stride quickly and deliver a product that works with the rest of the products you have. Being able to take an endpoint product that was being sold in a variety of divisions at Panda into retail, into the channel as we know it, as well as to the enterprise space, and to be able to now take that into the view of a WatchGuard product line and redeliver that to WatchGuard resellers and partners and be able to really get traction with that over a two-year period where no one is in the office, I think really says that one, there was an absolute need for this, and two, that the people who were behind it really understood that security was foremost in making this happen. And it's really become a banner for our company in making this happen.
Yeah, no, fantastic job. If we think about what the Panda technology is, I think it plays very nicely into the strength of your MSP customer base and your MSSPs. And, you know, you and I spend a lot of time in this market, even in my new role, right, over our Microsoft business. But yeah. You know, frankly, I sit on several boards within the CompTIA community and Slack channels on MSPs and MSSPs. And it's always interesting. And I, you know, love to hear from what I call the voice of an MSP of what their challenges are, particularly around cybersecurity, but even just in general cloud, right? And business aspects and how we can't help them. What are you seeing? Because when you talk about ransomware and, you know, the user level, there's been a big, you know, concentration of attacks on MSPs because it's one to many as well. And what are you maybe seeing in terms of the feedback from your partners around opportunities, particularly in this segment?
So let me kind of take a step back, and this is a huge question because the MSP really has the challenge today. There's a challenge in hiring the right people There's a challenge in that your customer base expecting you to be the expert. There are legal challenges. There's even teaching your own technical teams you have on staff to understand what it is you're trying to do as a business while incorporating new technologies into it. I mentioned this, about 2 months ago when we were on a panel. I said the first thing you need to do as an MSP is to eat your own dog food. And what that really means is make sure that you as a company are using the tool sets that you're going to sell downstream. That will allow you to understand what they do and what they can't do. It will allow you to explain them better to your customer and why they're beneficial. But it will also allow you to act more quickly because you understand what it's doing. And when it throws off a trigger, you'll know exactly what it means and what you should do to react to it. So I think that's first and foremost for an MSP. We've been evolving our business line as our partners evolve into more of the MSP space. That started about 3.5-4 years ago. But we're also looking at larger MSPs that have been in the space a while and really understanding what they need to continue to drive their business forward in a profitable manner. They're looking for SOC services, whether they are incorporating them into their own business or simply leveraging them from another partner, for example, WatchGuard, or from your company or any other company. They're also looking for detection and response services. So we all hear about XDR or MDR, and how does that operate and how do you make that happen? One of the things that we were lucky enough with Panda was to acquire their MDR services along with the company. So when you get to a point where you've got your zero trust pieces in play, you've got your signatures in play, you're down to about 1%, less than 1% of things that slip through. Somebody needs to be there to grab those, understand what they are, and respond. And that's what an MSP can do using all of the service sets that are available, wherever you may get them, to provide that really trusted behavior to your customers that they will refer you to other customers and your business continues to grow that way.
Yeah, no, it's a great perspective, right? And that 1%, you know, still is a lot to manage, but it's much more reasonable for the MSP to manage it at that level than the 99, right, that they're having to field or have had to field over the last year. So, you know, it's interesting because I know that the word MSP and MSSP has become extremely blurred, you know, to me in the last several years, you know, around because of SOC services, because of MDR and those kind of more mature solutions coming to market and being adopted, that it allows maybe that traditional MSP to become more of an MSSP, right? But if you really look at the true definition of an MSSP, right, there's 100 of them, right, that are staffed in a very sophisticated manner with cyber talent and everything around them. But this provides a greater capability for really the entire, you know, universe, which is a big statement to say, to be able to lend, you know, outsource their cybersecurity into the hands of these experts and true technology opportunities incorporated.
It really does. I'm seeing MSSPs who are true MSSPs, they've been doing this for years, they've focused in this space, are now reselling their services through an MSP under that MSP banner in order for them to be a better provider of security to their customers. It's just sort of how this ecosystem is evolving over time. It just happens to be going quicker over the last couple of years because of the situation we've been in. But to be able to leverage others' knowledge to create a better product or service on the other end. I think this is a great time for anybody to be in this business that really wants to focus on the security side.
Yeah. And I think it's the only way that we can manage through the talent shortage that we have, you know, and the burnout, right? There's this fatigue and it's becoming and mental health challenges that have happened really a lot in technology and cyber specifically as well, because of the amount of threats that, you know, whether it's an engineering level or, you know, your installer, you know, installment, your professional services. I mean, there's so much pressure on all of them that there's just a lot of opportunity sitting in this ecosystem. And yet we're still facing the number one shortage in talent, right, is in this field. So, and that's not going to change in the foreseeable, you know, there's a lot of work to be done and a lot of companies really rallying along that fight, I would say, right, from you as an OEM and other OEMs, as well as even us as a distributor providing a route to help educate But there's a lot of work to be done, and it's going to take all of us to really to solve this. But it's also people. Technology has to, and I think that's where the value of certainly like SOC's services capabilities to expand out into where they're incorporated by OEMs managing them, and the MSPs really help do what they do. They can exceptionally do well, right? Is manage their tickets and troubleshoot the 1%. You know,
right.
It's less, a little higher. And then certainly around managed detection and response, that has transformed the cyber business to me around really looking and allowing technology to use AI and machine learning and all the great talent within sophistications to really mitigate those threats, right? Identify where there's suspicious activity and unusual behavior within the network. So lots of a great opportunity here. It's one, I love this topic, right? MSPs to me and cyber, it's just such I sit on boards and it's like the number one discussion point everywhere we sit. In how does cyber become more incorporated into the sales, the business aspect, and then ultimately, you know, where can they lend other expertise to augment where they don't have the capability
right.
staff? And I think that you covered it extremely well there around the opportunity.
Okay. It is interesting. Let's take a trip back in time. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when a firewall failed, and we have the stats on this, about 89% of the time, it was because somebody installed a firewall and then just let it sit. So through human error, without adjusting what was going on that firewall, and with the adaptation and capabilities of hackers, they got breached. That human element hasn't changed. But as you've said, we've been able to take technology to a point where we can have what we use as traditional security type things like signatures and other things. But then we have AI on top of that. But then on top of that, we've got the mediation guys. The problem, like you said, becomes fatigue because a company, and now a company that's managing multiple other companies' security, has to be right every single time. And a hacker only has to be right once.
Yeah.
So the more that we can alleviate that issue of fatigue, make it easier for people to manage through this process, even on the MSP, MSSP side, because that's where most of this is going now. And knowing that we have limited employable people that fit into this space and really have an understanding of it, it really behooves us to take a different look and a different viewpoint. One of the things that we're doing at WatchGuard is we're actually working with colleges and tech schools with a program called the WISE program, where we're actually teaching and incorporating with partners in the area. We're teaching the security technology, but we're also teaching what to look for within the curriculum of those students' opportunity at the tech schools. And then they're being hired because they already have the capability to get started in this business. I think it behooves us as companies that are in this business to help bring new people into the marketplace that can service it as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. We've got our passage program, which really similar, right? Not necessarily grade schools, but it takes talent coming out and vetting and making sure that they actually can facilitate the skills of that role. And then we can help place them within companies as well. So great opportunity for us all to help really transform our partner base and providing them the level of talent too. And, you know, what's interesting and fascinating is, you know, the incoming, you know, new coworkers that we have across our companies and the talent that we have and how we'll train and enable them. To me, one of the fascinating things to me is how's Meta, you know, how is that going to be incorporated, right? As we start to really think about transforming the way that we teach cyber and we teach technology. You know, I think that that's a whole discussion in itself, maybe for another day, Mark.
Maybe. I'll probably retire before then, but you never know.
Well, you know,
it's coming.
You never know.
It's coming fast. It's coming fast.
It is. Well, it was great to have you on the Holt Story today. I think, you know, frankly, our time is never enough. I will have to have you back on again in the near future, and we'll dig, you know, into some of these topics a little bit further. But, you know, kudos, you know, absolutely love, you know, watching what WatchGuard's doing, you know, definitely. Maybe if you have one last thing to leave with our audience is, you know, where do you see your company in the next, you know, year, focusing year, 2 years out? Really, what's the main focus or continued, you know, focus around transformation?
Sure, you bet. So here's where we're heading. From a technology standpoint, we are going to more aggressively allow MSPs, MSSPs at that level to be able to manage all of our product lines as easily as possible. Everybody talks about the single pane of glass, but that's just the viewing portal. Now you have to have the software that actually works properly in the back end. We're trying to reduce the amount of time it takes a technician to solve a problem, to launch a product, to onboard a new company so that we can increase profitability for that managed service provider. That is key for us because we know that if we do that, we'll have a long-term partner and we can then grow our businesses together. Profitability is key here, and especially when you get away from hardware and you can't just look at, well, what's my margin on this? What's my margin on that? And how can I adjust the pricing? It really comes down to us understanding the business of the business. And that's where we're heading over the next few years to make sure that we are right in line with where MSPs are today and where they're going in the future.
Outstanding. Well, we will definitely have to have you on again, and we'll go dig deeper into some of those around that transformation and really maybe highlight a few of those, because I think that that's profitability and the business piece of it is critically important, right, for longevity of our partners and really evaluating, you know, a higher capital value for MSPs, right? That's what they're ultimately looking for too, is their CapEx. And so great
to absolutely
have you on today, Mark, and really take care. And I'll look forward to another panel that we are on together.
Sounds good. Thank you, Tracy. Great talking to you again.
Thanks, Mark. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate you taking the time to subscribe using your favorite podcast application. We are hosted on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and many other podcast platforms. We're adding new podcasts monthly, and you can also access our podcast at theholtstory.com. Thanks again.